6 to 14. Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. What a great priest.
Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation.
These first four verses in this chapter 1 of Hebrews are a great opening statement and indicate the great theme of the book of Hebrews, which is the greatness of Jesus Christ. His deity, his supremacy, and his sufficiency. In verses 2 and 3, there are seven facts which are of great note. Fact 1, God speaks to us by his Son. You, of course, know that. And why should people listen to Jesus? Because the Bible says he has the words of life, and he indeed is the truth, the life, and the way. Fact 2, Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. All that belongs to God, all that the Father owns, are given to Jesus. In Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, we read these words. God says this, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." And fact 3, Jesus is the Creator's Son. Jesus was there at the beginning when all things were created. The verse here does not just refer to the earth, but you'll notice that it refers to the universe. To the universe. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? There are some people, many people, who don't even believe that God created the earth. But here the Bible reminds us that he created the universe. And fact 4 is that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In the Old Testament, the glory of God was often seen as a reminder to the people of God's presence. But now, this author of the book of Hebrews writes, Jesus radiates the glory of God and totally represents all that is God. One writer put it this way, "In Christ, all the majesty of God's splendor is fully revealed." I think that's a beautiful line, that. In Christ, all the majesty of God's splendor is fully revealed. And fact 5, Jesus also sustains all things by his word. The words of Jesus, those words of authority, go throughout the world. In chapter 1 of Colossians, and you'll know it well, and verses 16 and 17. It's talking about the supremacy of Christ. And it says, "For by him," that's by Jesus, "for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What an amazing thought that is. That in Jesus, our Savior, all things hold together. Many of the authorities around this world would be totally dismayed if they knew that the Bible says that thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, All were created by him and for him. An amazing thought that these men and women of authority around the world are only there because Jesus allows them to be there. So Jesus sustains all things by his word. And then fact six, Jesus the Savior. Because it says there he provided purification for sins. How personal that is for you and me. For Jesus is our Savior. For we belong to God because Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And for those of us who believe, we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus, the Lamb of God. And fact seven is that after Jesus had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that's where he is today, that our Jesus, our Savior, the one who died on the cross for us, sits at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us that he intercedes for us. What amazing statements these are. I do hope your soul is nourished and encouraged with these words. I do hope it is, because they're there for our encouragement and for our nourishment, for all that Jesus is. But then in verse 4, we read, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So you think, well, why should the writer say that Jesus is superior to the angels? And the chapter is titled, The Son Superior to Angels. We know that Jesus is superior to angels, because we know that Jesus is the Son of God and the angels are not sons of God. The explanation is that this letter to the Hebrews is written by a Jewish author and was intended, firstly, to be read by first century Jewish Christians who had been persecuted for their faith and still were having a hard time, and they were in danger of giving up their faith. They were in danger of compromising their Christian beliefs. They needed encouraging, and they also needed to be reminded of the greatness of the Savior in whom they had put their trust. And they were to be encouraged to hold on to the truth of God's word. With that in mind, the Jewish thinking regarding angels, the Jews regarded angels as being very important because they saw them as mediators between God and men. So the writer of the book of Hebrews sets out to demonstrate that Jesus is superior to angels in all respects, and also that the message he brings is superior as well. Angels, we know, are recorded in both the Old and the New Testaments, and they are messengers sent from God. But God never said to an angel, "You are my son." And God never said to an angel, "Sit at my right hand." We know that angels announced the birth of Jesus. In a couple of months' time, we'll be thinking about that and reading about that. We know angels came to Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness. We know angels came to Jesus in Gethsemane and strengthened him. And we know angels worship and praise Jesus. We read that in Revelation, that thousands and thousands of angels worshipped and praised Jesus. Is Jesus superior to the angels? Of course he is. Of course he is. His name is superior. His nature is superior. His role is superior. His work is superior. He is God's Son, and he is our Lord Jesus, who came to seek and to save and to die on the cross for you and me. So as we think about these things, as we think about what Jesus has done for us, let's be encouraged in our own lives to follow him more closely, to seek to be better disciples, and to be faithful in all that we do as we serve him. For he died for us, and he is God's Son, who is superior in every respect, and he reflects the glory and the attributes of God himself.